Welcome everyone for the second day, the second session in our seminar, an appropriate seminar for such an occasion as this, a kirtan retreat, where we're focusing on chanting the holy names, a seminar on the life and teachings of Srila Haridas Thakur. Today we're speaking from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, chapter number 3, entitled The Glories of Haridas Thakur. We'll do a few verses, beginning with text 50. Haridasa Kali Kale Yavana Apara Go Brahmane Himsha Kare Maha Durachara. Translation: My dear Thakur Haridas, in this age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture, and therefore they are called Yavanas. They are concerned only with the killing of cows and Brahminical culture. In this way, they engage in so many sinful acts. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Haridas Thakur. Text 51. Iha shabhara kon mate haibe nishtara tahara hetu na dekiye eduka apara. Haridas, how will all these yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I cannot see any way. And then text 52. Haridas replied, Haridasa kahe prabhu chinta nakariya yavanera samsara deki dukana bhaviha. Haridas replied, My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the yavanas in material existence. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. These words of Haridas Thakur are just befitting a devotee who has dedicated his life and soul to the service of the Lord. When the Lord is unhappy because of the condition of the fallen souls, the devotee consoles him, saying, My dear Lord, please don't be in anxiety. This is service. Everyone should adopt the cause of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to relieve him from the anxiety that he feels. This is actually service to the Lord. One who tries to relieve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anxiety for the fallen souls is certainly a most dear and confidential devotee of the Lord. To blaspheme such a devotee who is trying his best to spread the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest aparat, it's the greatest offense. One who does so is simply awaiting punishment for his envy. Yesterday we began our seminar on the life and teachings of Srila Haridas Thakur by two quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami. He was, as we mentioned yesterday, a best friend, close associate of Haridas Thakur, as were many great luminaries at that time, as Rupa Goswami. They had their sangha, their association. And in their implementing the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to begin the Sankirtan movement, they were the pioneers. They came up with a vision. They came up with a strategy, actually, how to propagate the Sankirtan movement. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami, he knew Haridas Thakur very well. And just like if you want to know somebody, you may not be able to approach them directly because there's no relationship established. So you approach their friend and you say, well, you know, what's he like? Or what's she like? Oh, well, they like this and like that. And you get an idea. Through another person, you can understand what that person is like. So Haridas Thakur is such a glorious personality. We don't really have access. Just like one time Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to understand my Guru Maharaj, you read my books. He said, he's such a great personality, you have to go through me to understand him. So similarly, to understand the glories of Haridas Thakur, we can approach him through his associates, who know him best, who know him the best. So Sanatana Goswami, we read from CC yesterday those verses, just to paraphrase them today. He said about his friend, Haridas, some devotees practice Krishna consciousness, but they don't preach. Okay. And some devotees preach, but they don't practice. Mm. But you, Haridas Thakur, are exemplary in practicing Krishna consciousness and distributing those holy names. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami concludes, Tumi Sarva Guru Tumi Jagatara Arya. I declare you're the best devotee of the Lord and you're the spiritual master of the whole world. So if you want some guidance in Krishna consciousness, we know where to turn to. Just like if you want to understand any subject, as we mentioned yesterday, you find a teacher who knows and practices that subject. That's quicker. So the science of Krishna consciousness we can see demonstrated in the personality of Haridas Thakur, and that's so important because, again, what is the Yuga Dharma for this age? What is the process? Harinama Harinam Harinama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranitha. It's very simple. It is simple. It's chanting Hare Krishna. And here's a person who demonstrates and teaches how to do. So therefore he's so prominent in our disciplic succession, as we mentioned yesterday. In the Prema Dwani prayers, his name was right up front. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. But actually, most devotees don't know so much about him. If I asked you to come and speak for 1 hour about Haridas Thakur, what could you speak for 1 hour? We may be able to speak about some other persons we know. Maybe they're not even devotees. So we should be educated in this way. Very important. The Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. We have the Bhagavatam and we have the person who exemplifies the devotee. And we have our modern day Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, to teach us how to implement the instructions of the Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. There's no reason we can't become pure devotees in this very lifetime. So he had the title Acharya. Acharya, it means that he is the leader. Acharya literally means one who teaches by example, but it's also, that title is given to someone who's head of sampradaya, who sets the standard for that particular spiritual movement, like our Srila Prabhupada, Acharya. Prabhupada wanted very much that when his title was presented on the books or whatever, that he's the Acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So obviously such a title, such a personage, with that comes a huge responsibility. If you're the leader of an institution, if you're the leader of a movement, if you're the leader of a tradition, then that carries with it a huge responsibility. There's a saying that the crown of the king is heavy. Well, I'd like to be king. Okay. But the crown of the king is heavy. You get the money, you get the prestige, you know, but you also get all the problems and you get all the opposition. Being the king with the crown, the gold crown, the diamond crown, right? It'll attract friend and foe. So similarly, to have this title Acharya, it will naturally attract devotees, just like bees go for honey. So sadhus, devotees, are always looking for and aspiring to take association from devotees of the Lord because they know the chemistry of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, one who's my devotee, not my devotee, One is the devotee of my devotee. He's my devotee. We learn the science of Krishna consciousness, again, through the Lord's representatives. So when one finally wakes up and understands the goal of life, he's very eager to associate with devotees of the Lord to get to know the Lord. Love me, love my dog. Puppy dog. So immediately when there's a, it's obvious that there's a an esteemed sadhu, then the Vaishnavas want his association. But such a personality also attracts the non-devotees. There's also a saying, the destiny of the king is to have enemies. If you want to be king, okay. The destiny of the king is to have enemies. And that can't be avoided because it's the nature of this world. There's two classes of men and women in this world. As described in the Padma Purana, Dwabhuta Sargolokushmin, Daiva Ashura Evacha, Vishnu Bhakta Smito Daiva Ashurishtad Viparyaha. There are two classes of men in this created world. One consists of the demoniac, and the other consists of the godly. That's all of you. The devotees of Lord Vishnu are the godly, whereas those who are just the opposite are called demons. Now, what is the nature of the godly? Godly person. They're rare. Manushyanam sahasrisu kasyudyatati shidhaye. Krishna was even observing society 5,000 years ago, even before the beginning of Kali Yuga, really. He said, out of millions and millions of men, perhaps one will be interested in the science of self-realization. And out of those few, he said, hardly one understands me in truth. So how rare it is to find the godly. But if you study them, godly persons, transcendentalists, let us say, who've understood the futility of material existence and have chosen a particular spiritual path. We've chosen our path that we're actually respectful of all transcendentalists. They're not ordinary people. They've given up the false pursuit of sense gratification. They've given up sinful activity. So we're respectful of all classes of all transcendentals, of all sincere practitioners of any religion. They're not ordinary people. And they have a common characteristic that they're acting selflessly for the benefit of others. It's just the nature of a person who's on the path of liberation. He wants to share his good fortune with others. It's a characteristic. Whereas those who are demoniac, their happiness is always at the expense of others. So they have two different worldviews. If you wanted to say, what's the worldview of the godly? What is the worldview of the god? How do they see the world? That's described by Prahlad Maharaj, one of our 12 Mahajans, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Svasyastu visvasya kala prasidatam Jayantu Bhutani Shyams Mito Dhyā. He says, this is how godly people see the world. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. Does that ring a bell? Does it strike a chord in your heart? That's how Prabhupada trained us. What is the worldview of a demoniac person? Gita. Idam adya maya labdham, imam prapshe manoratam. So much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. It's kind of hard for you to relate to that. But that's how people think like that. And whoever gets in their way, watch out. Actually, to be a leader, if someone's in a position of leadership in modern day times, they'll admit they had to step on many heads to get there. They have many, and they had to watch their back. Because their happiness was at the expense of others. Just see the people eating. Eating's one of the joys of life. But what do they eat? They eat the poor innocent animals they've slaughtered in the slaughterhouses. They're enjoying at the table at the expense of others. So because there's two opposing worldviews in this way, there's going to be trouble. There's actually a saying, trouble never comes alone. And so there was trouble in the life of this great saint, Haridas Thakur. You think a saintly person, nobody bother him. He's just, you know, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Why wouldn't we bother such a person? Well, because not only did he chant, he went out and chanted and tried to convince others to chant. That's against the other person's worldview. He was a simple, humble, pure, innocent, unassuming person. But Haridas Thakur attracted some of the most vicious personalities and as a result experienced some of the most cruel treatment or punishment in the history of our sampradaya. But don't despair, because he was protected by the Lord. We always want protection, but protection comes in accordance with our level of surrender. All of them, as they surrender to me, I ward them accordingly. So Krishna is always ready to protect his devotees in relationship to their level of surrender. So because he was a fully surrendered soul, he received full protection. We'll see during the seminar what he had to actually undergo. He was actually whipped with a cane in 22 marketplaces. Generally, from what I understand, you lasted one and a half or two marketplaces, 22. He took that beating. But further down the line in the pastime, when he met his Lord Mahaprabhu, he saw the whip marks on the back of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu took the beating on his behalf. This is protection. So therefore, there's many similarities between the lives of Prahlad Maharaj, of whom Haridas Thakur is. We went into great depth yesterday, analyzing his personality introduction, how he's actually a combination of three persons. He's a Brahmana boy who was cursed by his father because the father said, get me some tulsi for the puja, and he brought unwashed tulsi leaves, and the father cursed him, so you will take birth as a yavana. And according to our acharyas, he's also Lord Brahma. We discussed that past time, how Brahma became the personality of Haridas Thakur. And he's also Prahlad Maharaj. So his life parallels with these personalities. And we know how Prahlad was persecuted by his father Hirikashipu for the sin, the crime of being a Vaishnava. But he was protected by Lord Nrisingadev. And Haridas Thakur was persecuted by a Muslim leader because he was a Vaishnava, and a very outspoken Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are outspoken. They go on the streets and they chant very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 you know. But he was protected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why are we discussing this? Because it's significant. We're in that line. These are our heroes. We meant to imbibe their life and their teachings. By some causeless mercy, we're their representatives. We're their representatives. We've inherited this mission. And it's significant because as Kali Yuga progresses, devotee preachers may have to undergo similar trials and tribulations. And while doing so, take strength from the example of Prahlad Maharaj, Namachari Haridas Thakur. This is described, there's 10,000, isn't it, 10,000 years? The glorious, this is the process for this age, chanting Hare Krishna, for all of Kali Yuga, the 428,000 years. The process is chanting Hare Krishna. But this particular period we're in is the golden part of Kali Yuga, the golden age of Kali Yuga, the 10,000 years where the movement will really grow and spread. You'll see, or your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will see. But within that golden age, you could say this is the golden in the golden. These are very peaceful times right now. Yes, there's war in Iraq and Syria and things, but we're pretty much free to go anywhere and everywhere we want. Even Russia, even China. In China, there's no word in the Chinese language for God. There's no word for God. They worship ancestors. You can go there. You can chant Hare Krishna now, have public programs. We're going there in the month of January with my whole Polish tour to the island of Hainan, which is a big island in the South China Sea where the Chinese people go for vacation during the winter. We're going to have a big program there for 1 month. They promise us 20 to 40,000 people a day will attend our program. And there's no word for God. So these are golden times, and we should make hay while the sun shines. Because it's not going to get better. Internally, it may get better. You may get purified, but externally, this is Kali Yuga, and it's going to evolve. It's going to become more difficult to preach. One time, a devotee said to Prabhupada, "I just want to come back birth after birth and distribute your books." This is a nice sentiment to fulfill the order of the spiritual master. But Prabhupada took it a different way. He said, "What? No, this is Kali Yuga. You should practice very sincerely. You don't want to come back. You should try to go back home, back to Godhead." So it may be that in the future, it will be, that it will become more difficult to preach and devotees may have to take on great risks. But be assured of protection at the same time. Maybe our bodies won't always be protected, but our Krishna consciousness will be protected. This is what we pray. It's natural the body deteriorates, it falls apart. It's a material machine. And it may be, we may be persecuted or this, that. But when we pray for protection, we're actually praying for protection for our Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj, he's in front of Nisringadev, you know, anger personified. And he said, "I'm not afraid of your wedge-like ears, your dueling tongue, your sharp nails and sharp teeth. I'm not afraid of that. I'm afraid of forgetting your lotus feet as a result of the influence of the material energy. Please protect me. Protect my Krishna consciousness. This is our most valuable possession. We've been blessed to awaken our Krishna consciousness. It's our most valuable thing. So when we pray for protection, we're always praying, please, don't let me forget the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Don't let me forget the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Don't let me forget your lotus feet, my dear Lord. This is our prayer." And Krishna promises that prayer. He says, "Sarva karmanyapi sada kurvanu mat vyavas rayaha." He says, "Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode of the Lord by my grace." So even though it's the golden age and the golden age, we will face some trials and tribulations. One time Prabhupada said, "One who takes to Krishna consciousness declares war on the material energy." It's like, really? Maya, you want to fight? The other day I visited Mayapur and I went to the house of Sri Radhe and Madhava Gauranga, and he's a martial arts expert. So I kind of joked. I walked in, I said to him, I saw Madhava Gauranga. You know, I said, "You want to fight?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "It's okay." A Kachi never, you know, refuses a fight. "You want to fight? Yeah, let's go." "Want to go outside?" "No, I just take a shot at him." So we by taking to Krishna consciousness, Maya will test you. Are you really sincere? Do you really want the job? You really want to go back to Godhead? Let's see. We don't want that to happen. So there's different types of enemies. There's enemies within, lust, anger, and greed, and there's enemies without, like corrupt leaders, self-righteous souls, hoodlums. So in this seminar, we're going to see how the Acharya, Haridasa Thakur, dealt with both kinds of this opposition and was successful. I mentioned yesterday, this story is full of intrigue, and there's plots, and there's victories, and there's tragedies, and it'll make a great movie one day, I think, actually. So he dealt with oppositions within. Of course, he's an eternally liberated soul, but for our benefit, we'll see today we're going to discuss how he was and a prostitute came to try to cause him to fall down and defame him. He didn't budge an inch. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And later how he was persecuted by, well, as I mentioned, political leaders, etc. So hopefully by Monday afternoon, when this festival is over, the seminar is over, we'll have a deeper understanding and appreciation for Srila Haridasa Thakur. And we'll be able to appreciate the following glorification of Haridasa Thakur given by Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat. And listen very carefully. He's another. These are the persons who know these persons, so we can realize them. Haridasa Thakur was born in a low-class family, he writes, just as Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and Hanuman was born in a monkey family. Despite that fact, the demigods always desire the touch of Haridas. And Mother Ganges begs that he immerse himself in her waters. What to speak of his touch, Chaitanya Bhagavat says. Just by seeing Haridas, one is released from the bondage of fruitive activities. Whoa. Indeed, even if one sees a person who has taken shelter of Haridas, he is freed from material bondage. I like that part. Indeed, even if a person sees a person who's taken shelter of Haridas, Thakur, he's freed from bondage. Can we stop the children? So the first test for Haridas came when he was a young man. We mentioned yesterday how his early life is shrouded in mystery, but there's a certain conclusion among scholars that he was definitely born in a Muslim family. Some scholars say he was born in a Brahmin family and he associated with Muslims, so he became a Muslim, but Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati doesn't accept that conclusion. He said he was actually born in a Muslim family. But one day, a passed through that village that he was living in, and the young boy was attracted and associated with him, and that Vaishnava initiated him into the chanting of Hare Krishna. He received formal initiation, which doesn't necessarily mean a big fire sacrifice, but basically there's a contract between guru and disciple. It's an affair of the heart. And the Vaishnava guru whispered the mantra in his ear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And there was an immediate transformation. And he left home. We know he was very young because everywhere where I was reading, where I was in my research, everywhere it's described, he was very handsome. He was a very handsome young man. Very, very beautiful. But he renounced everything and he went to the village of Benapol, which is in the district of Yashohara in Jaisur, which is now Bangladesh. And there he constructed a very simple dwelling. It was made of mud and straw. in a remote area, and he planted a tulsi tree, and he chanted day and night, because we mentioned, and it's, every time I repeat it, it's like, oh my gosh. He chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day, 192 rounds. So that takes quite some time. Many devotees take all day to chant 16 rounds. You see, he was so focused, he chanted 192 rounds. And why did he devote so much time to chanting Hare Krishna? Because the acharyas say, Tarak Brahma Nama, Tarak Brahma Nama. This name of Krishna, this is the name that helps one cross beyond the ocean of illusion. Tarak Brahma Nama, this name, Hare Krishna, this takes one across the ocean of illusion. Who would not want to cross over the ocean of illusion? Well, some people like to be in illusion, but we want to get out. So when we sit down, we also focus. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare. The middle rounds and the final rounds are just as focused as those first few beads when you sit down in the morning and chant. As a genuine sadhu, he would beg for his food because he wasn't working, he didn't have money, he couldn't go shopping, didn't have the facilities for cooking and so forth. It takes a lot of time, so sadhus don't want, they want to utilize their time for chanting. So they do madhukari. Madhukari means, Prahlad, three or four houses. So there's a, you get three or four houses you can go to. And you can, whatever you get, that's what you eat. Fortunately, in Vrindavan, the Brajabasis are very merciful, and you usually get more than you can eat. So in this way, he demonstrated this simple life of a sadhu. And as time went by, he was kind of new to the village, but the word spread, and people were pious. Bharat, the most pious people in the universe, they take birth in India. I think that still applies. So as time went by, it's described his saintly nature, his activities and his practices began to attract a large following of the local population. Although he was in the forest and didn't want that attention, the fame of a devotee precedes him wherever he goes. Because people are interested in spiritual life. Even in Kali Yuga, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity are diminishing day by day. But Prabhupada said, even now there's still an element of truthfulness. Austerity, cleanliness, these things are gone. But there's still a little element of truthfulness left. So people will buy our books. They will hear a message. They will come to know. They will become devotees. Still, there's an element of people are seeking the distinction between illusion and truth. So we have to be there for them. So the pious people would come to Haridas Thakur and he would preach. He wasn't just Bhajananandi, he was Goshtananandi. To be a Goshtananandi, you have to be a Bhajananandi. It's all a question of balance. You have to strengthen yourself by being strict in your sadhana, and then you're obliged to go out and preach. But you can't preach if you don't. What are you going to give anybody if you don't practice sadhana? So he was a very good Bhajananandi, and he was a very good Goshtananandi. This is our example. This is our tradition. We don't retire to Radhakund to develop prema, love for God. We go to Vrindavan for inspiration, and then we come back to Muwalamba, Brisbane, and Auckland, and we share. So many people started coming to him, and it's described, there was a disciple of Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur who was very much respected by the devotees and appreciated by his Guru Maharaj. His name was Raghava Pandit Das, and he wrote a really good book called The Divine Name. And in that book he describes this situation when Haridas came to the village, and I'll quote him because, well, he's a better devotee than me. All the virtuous inhabitants of the village regarded Haridas Thakur as a saint. They were greatly impressed by the various marks of devotion which they had never witnessed on others, and his extraordinary love for the holy name, Namaruchi. He gained within a short time great popularity amongst the local people. His reputation spread even to distant places. People from these faraway places came there just to see him from a distance. Just to see him. They rendered him various services and tried to follow his soul-stirring instructions. He's preaching, right? When you hear a good talk, you're soul-stirring. Yes, now I'm going to really become serious about Krishna consciousness. Now I'm going to really start chanting. That's the effect. Unfortunately, the opposite also took place, just like a magnet, right? A magnet attracts, and you turn it around, a magnet repulses. So this is the effect of his preaching, that he attracted so many, but others were repulsed as well. And in particular, there was, you could say like the governor of the area. His name was Ramachandra Khan. I don't like to say his name. Ramachandra Khan. He owned large tracts of land. He was very wealthy and so forth. Learned, but he was very envious of Haridas Thakur's. The acharyas say his wealth, his prestige, and his honor blinded him as to the glories of Haridas Thakur and made him envious. He was very un-Krishna conscious. He's the epitome of that famous verse, Matir Nikrishne Pratasvatova Mitobi Madhyeta Grihavartanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punas Puna Charvita Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused either by the instructions of others or by their own efforts or by a combination of both. This was Ramachandra Khan. Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita calls him the chief of the atheists. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he told his father, "You are the best of the asuras." "Oh, thank you, Prahlad." So the atheists, they take pride in, you know, we can prove there's no God. So he liked this title. "Yes, I'm chief of the atheists." And he could not tolerate that so much respect was being given to this new sadhu. So, out of envy, he decided to destroy his reputation. More babies. That's a brand new one, okay? That's all right. Not so loud. You can stay. So he decided to, he came up with a plan to destroy the reputation of Haridas Thakur and ruin him. And this is significant because some acharyas have commented that he was the governor. He could have easily had him killed. You know, like some envious persons tried to bribe the chief of police to arrange for the assassination of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's a well-known story in the Gaudiya Math. They were very envious of him, some smarta brahmana. So they went to the police chief and said, "We'll pay you, give you so many lakhs of rupees." He said, "I will not do such a thing. He's a saintly person." So this Ramachandra Khan, he could have easily had Haridas killed, but rather, he wanted to have his good name soiled. Why? The acharyas say, "Akirtam chapi bhutani kata vishyanti te vyavam." That's from the Gita. People will always speak of your infamy, Arjuna, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Dishonor is worse than death. So Raghava Pandit, in his book, he describes how it unfolded, how they got the prostitute. I'm not going to too much deal because it's quite graphic, but anyway. "Unfortunately," he says, "Ramachandra Khan took Haridas Thakur to be a mere beginner in the devotional field, a weak-minded emotionalist who could be made an easy victim to the temptations of the world, puffed up with the vanities of wealth, youth, and rank." It's old English. "He did not understand the marvelous glories of Lord Hari. Having full faith in his newly invented plan, Ramachandra Khan secured the help of the best prostitutes of the locality and asked them to spoil the character of Haridas Thakur. He promised them huge rewards. However, all these prostitutes except one did not accept the offer and retired. But one of them, who was the youngest and most beautiful, ventured to accept the offer and assured Ramachandra Khan of success by bringing ruin on the character of Haridas Thakur in 3 days' time. He writes nicely, isn't he? So Ramachandra Khan, he got this, the youngest, the most prettiest, ambitious, and he told her, this is what we'll do. You go to him and I'll assign a police constable to come with you. He'll hide in the bushes. And as soon as you make union with Haridas Thakur, we'll come and arrest him. She didn't like that plan. She said, this is my profession. Let me have union with him once, and the second time you can arrest him. I said, all right. So the scene was set. This is the drama is unfolding. What was going to happen? We know what's going to happen. So the next afternoon, the prostitute dressed herself in a very attractive way, and she approached the Bhajan Kutir. He's living in the forest in a little hut. There's a little entrance there. And there's the Tulsi Stamba is just outside the front entrance. Recently, I was in Orissa, and I went to the village of Choti, which is the ancestral home of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was born in Bengal, but his ancestral home was actually in Orissa. We went there, and the first thing I noticed was that every single house in the village had a most beautiful Tulsi Stamba, decorated with cloth and ornaments, and I was just, wow. I says, every house they worshipped, because they're all devotees of Krishna. They're devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The culture also spread into Orissa by the mercy of Shyamananda Pandit. So they call that Tulsi Dham. That village is also referred to as Tulsi Dham. So when the prostitute came and she saw the Tulsi plant, she paid obeisances. So this is not your ordinary prostitute. She paid obeisances to the Tulsi plant, then she came to the entrance to the door and she paid obeisances to Haridas Thakur. And then she began exhibiting various feminine postures, which I cannot imitate, but did it work? Which was described would bewilder even the minds of devatas and great sages. I won't go any further there. And she spoke the following words. Here's a sadhu in his bhajan kutir meditating fully, and then the prostitute comes and says, "Oh dear Thakur, oh great preacher, great devotee, you are so beautiful and so handsome. Who is the woman who could control her mind after seeing you?" And then she got right to the point. "I'm eager to have union with you." Hare Krishna, Hare. "Oh, hello. I shall accept you without fail," Haridas said. "But you have to wait until I finish my chanting of my rounds. Until that time, please sit and listen to the chanting of the holy names. I promise you, as soon as I'm finished, I'll fulfill your desire." So she was hopeful. She sat down, and she followed his instruction. She bowed down to the Tulsi tree. She paid obeisances, and she's following the sadhu almost unconsciously, because it's the culture. Prabhupada said Vedic culture is such that everyone offers obeisances to someone in the renounced order of life. The saffron cloth is still respected, even in modern-day India. I know myself, when I travel around, people are respectful, despite the fact that India is so much influenced by Western culture now. That's still there. Such a culture. So she said, okay. And she sat down. To finish his round, it's not like you finishing your rounds. You know, you can chant quickly. "I'm finished, hour and a half." He had 192 rounds to chant. And he chanted them with full attention. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. And she sat listening. Now, yesterday we had a long discussion about the benefits of hearing the holy name chanted from the lips, or let us say better, the heart, the soul of a devotee who's offering those words as glorification, pure in love to their Lord, to Krishna. That type of chanting has a special effect. And what did we say? What was the conclusion we should listen to? Prabhupada's tapes, Prabhupada's bhajans. So pure. I mentioned the Gayatri Mantra. I heard the Gayatri Mantra not from Prabhupada, but I heard the Gayatri Mantra from a tape. Prabhupada considered that as good. The Shabda Brahma, the transcendental sound. So she listened. But then the dawn came and her desire wasn't fulfilled. I'm so sorry, I didn't finish my rounds. I've got a few left. Okay. So she went back and she told Ramachandra Khan what happened. No, he didn't finish his rounds. No. Okay. He did, but after she left. So then he said, go back again. So she came back a second evening. And Haridasku was very humble. He said, last night you were disappointed. Please excuse my offense. Please sit down here and wait until I finish my japa for the day, and surely I will fulfill your desire. Okay. So she sat there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then the acharyas describe that as a result of that association, she started blurting things out like, oh my Lord Hari! Hare Krishna! Oh, no, no, no. Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvashastakoi, leva matra, sadhusanga, sarvasiddhihoi. Even a moment's association with a devotee can begin one on the path of perfection. Even without wanting, she started chanting. This is a transcendental trick, the Hare Krishna movement. Sometimes the parents are upset that their sons or daughters say, so you shouldn't have joined this Hare Krishna. Thank you, Dad. This Hare Krishna. Thanks, Mom. It works, no matter what. Prabhupada didn't call this the International Society for God Consciousness. He called it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it appeared that this chanting had some effect on her. And Prabhupada comments, because we are quoting Raghava Pandit, we should quote our spiritual master. He writes, Prabhupada writes, herein one can clearly see how a Vaishnava delivers a fallen soul by a transcendental trick. I used the right word. The prostitute came to pollute Haridas Thakur, but he took it as his duty to deliver the prostitute. As clearly demonstrated here, the process of deliverance is very simple. With faith and reverence, the prostitute associated with Haridas Thakur, who personally treated her material disease by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although the prostitute had an ulterior motive, somehow or other she got the association of a Vaishnava and satisfied him by occasionally chanting in imitation, O my Lord Hari, O my Lord Hari. The conclusion is that associating with the Vaishnava, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and offering obeisances to the Tulsi plant or a Vaishnava all lead one to become a transcendental devotee who is completely cleansed of all material contamination. It's similar. We came with ulterior motive. I mean, we had some genuine interest, but, you know, we're still holding on to our material desires as security in case it doesn't work. I can always go back to this, you know. We all come with ulterior motives. Until you're back in the spiritual world, there's always some little tinge of contamination there. The race isn't over till it's over. So we can't procrastinate. We can't put off for tomorrow what can be done today. We can't slow down. We have to chant 16 rounds, not 192. You get the same benefit now by Prabhupada's grace. You chant 16 rounds. follow the four principles, render seva to the Tulsi plant, serve the devotees. So towards the end of that night, he still didn't
finish.
So her desire to have union with him was not fulfilled, but the seed had been planted. Prabhupada would say sometimes the poison was injected. The people consider it like poison. So the poison was there, and the poison, just like you come in contact with the disease, it may not manifest immediately, right? There's that period of incubation or whatever they call that period. It takes 14 days for the measles to come on after you, you know, or something like that. So it had been planted there in her heart. So the third night when she came, she approached Haridas Thakur. At the end of the third night, like, she heard chanting from the lips of a pure devotee for three nights in a row. What did she do? Get up and express her frustration. We didn't have union. No, she said, she bowed her head at the Acharya's feet and said, I was sent here by Ramachandra Khan to cause you to fall down, but now I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please accept me as your disciple. And he replied, I know everything about Ramachandra Khan. Hearing of his evil intentions, I was about to leave, but I stayed here only to deliver you. This is a Vaishnava. I stayed here only to deliver you. A Vaishnava goes out of his or her way to deliver others. Sometimes others may not understand, but a Vaishnava goes out of his way or her way, selfless service, to deliver their brothers and sisters. So he gave her, now that she was a disciple, he started instructing her, go back to your village, give away all your jewelry. All?
All.
Shave your head. And put on a white sari. I will leave this place and you can stay. Worship this Tulsi plant and chant 300,000 names a day. So she did that willingly, full surrender. And after Haridas Thakur left, she became the prominent spiritual personality. People would come to hear her to hear instruction, you know, about Krishna consciousness. And she would always give all the credit to her Guru Maharaj, Srila Haridas Thakur. So a number of acharyas have commented on this episode of his life, that how easily he passed this test because of his inner convictions. And what was that inner conviction? Having full faith in the holy name. As a result, he was able to deliver the prostitute. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is one of those commentators, and he said, the prostitute, seeing the supernatural force of the character of Haridas Thakur, the heart of that sinful woman was changed. I thought that was nice. Supernatural force of Haridas Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, the association of a Kanista Adhikari can create a curiosity in the hearts of others about Krishna consciousness. The association of a Madhyama Adhikari can create genuine faith in others about the process of Krishna consciousness. But the association of a pure devotee of the Lord can cause someone, even before they take up the process, to experience ecstatic symptoms. Maybe she's experiencing something. There's that pastime in the Leelamrita where Prabhupada's having kirtan. I think it's in the Haight-Ashbury, in our temple near the Haight-Ashbury. And some lady raises her hand after the class and says, Swamiji, when I chant Hare Krishna, I see all these colors and lights swirling in my brain. Prabhupada said, that's all right, keep chanting, it'll go away. So the happiness that we experience when we're chanting, of course it's not perhaps on the level of pure ecstasy, but because it's related to Krishna, it's not ordinary. It's something divine. It may not, it's like the green mango. It's not the ripe mango, but it's a mango. So the sentiments we feel in the beginning for the chanting, for the devotees, for the guru, for the deities, for the dham, this is divine. This is what it's meant. It's all by Prabhupada's mercy. By associating with a pure devotee, the Lord, one can experience ecstatic symptoms. And we should cherish that and never risk ever losing that, because it will grow. The Bhakti Lata Beach, which is being watered, the seed of devotional, which is being watered by the chanting of Hare Krishna. Prabhupada gives a poetic description. He says that that seed, that Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of our devotion, grows, breaks through the coverings of the material universe, goes through the Vaikuntha planets, all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, where that Bhakti Lata Beach wraps around the lotus feet of the Lord in Goloka and produces the fruits of love of God. So keep chanting. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur concludes, the heart of the merciful Haridasa was touched. He forgot all about the bad profession of the prostitute, the unworthy object of lust for many men, and deciding that she was eligible for taking the Maha Mantra of the name of Hari in the manner that is freed from offense, rescued her from the deep well of sensuality. Such mercy is not met with anywhere except in the heart of a Vaishnava. All praise to Haridas. May your mercy be appreciated by all the people of the world. Haridas Thakur ki. So he was willing to forget her sinful activities. Generally, you know, a materialistic-minded person, they keep the grudge. You know, when you were 14, you said, "Then I saw you do this." But when the spiritual master accepts a disciple, he accepts the sincerity and he's willing to forget, willing to forgive all the sins that we've committed. Not only in this lifetime, Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Jeev, for millions of lifetimes, the spiritual master says, "All right, clean slate."
Really?
The prayaschitya means that you have to atone for sins committed, and mainly our life is just sin. We've turned our face from Krishna, so practically everything we do is sinful to a greater or lesser degree. You're willing to forgive that. If you, Guru Maharaj, I promise I will follow and I'll do this, and I'm just so happy now to be in this movement. All right, so you're forgiven. So why would we want to soil the heart again by breaking those vows or leaving and going back to that materialistic way of life? Even then, you come back, you're forgiven. But we shouldn't take advantage. There was one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a family man, but then he gave him sannyas. And he was a good sannyasi. Somehow or other, he fell into bad association. His mind became contaminated. He fell away, he left, and he became an offender. He outwardly criticized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He actually took to the Christian faith. I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but he changed camps, and he became a Christian and really started speaking out against Krishna consciousness and his spiritual master. And then he fell down from that because of his offenses and became a drunkard. And then somehow or other, the Vaishnavas went and rescued him. Oh no, he's left, he's a demon. They went and they found him and they preached to him. And that fallen condition, been beaten down, came back again. And he rose up again. He realized, now he really knew the difference between illusion and truth, between Maya and Krishna, material life and Krishna consciousness. And in the end, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave him sannyas again. And later he became one of the initiating spiritual masters. "I'll never give up, I'll never give up, not me." That's Peter Pan. "Oh, hey Vaishnava Thakur, doya sagara, edashe kurunakor, dia padachaya, shodaya maya, tomara charanadori. Oh, venerable Vaishnav, O devotee of Krishna, O ocean of mercy, be merciful unto your servant. Give me the shade of your lotus feet and purify me. I hold on to your lotus feet. So we offer our obeisances to Haridas Thakur for showing that any and all temptations can be conquered by taking shelter of the holy names. He taught us that principle. He taught us that knowledge is there in the Gita. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense gratification remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he's fixed in consciousness. Parinivrishtanivart. And all that taste, all that nectar, you don't have to collect it from here and there like a bee going from flower and flower and flower at the end of the day. No. All the nectar, bliss personified, is there in the syllables of the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. And there's no question, of course, that Haridas Thakur had any taste for sense gratification. He's just going through the drill to show us what to do. I often say that Ronald Reagan was one of the most popular presidents in my country, and he and his wife had a campaign against the drugs in the country. The youth were, so many young people were taking drugs, so they came up with a campaign to, you know, stop the drug addiction. So the slogan was that when the drug pusher approaches you, you just say no. So when Maya comes, you can just say no. But if you don't have the strength, then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Now I say no. Okay, well, go away, goodbye. So just about hearing the exploits of Namacharya Haridas Thakur, it helps us deepen our conviction in the holy names. And that's the whole purpose of this sacred sound. We develop a deeper conviction about chanting Hare Krishna, thus proving the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself about those who have that taste. Yen hara dashane muke asi Krishna nam tanhare jani hatume Vaishnava pradan. A first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name. There's devotees like that, right? You see them and you think, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. you remember them, you remember their dedication to chanting, to spreading the holy name. So you see them, you say, Hare Krishna. Isn't it? We have kirtaners here. You think of them, you think of kirtan. Like you see the husband, you think of the wife. You think of the wife, you think of the... You see a devotee, you think of kirtan. Yen hara darshane muke ashe nam Krishna nam tanhare jani tume Vaishnava pradan. Mahaprabhu said, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name. That's Haridas Thakur. Thank the Lord for Haridas Thakur. And before concluding, we should all also mention Srila Prabhupada in the same light. He's also Acharya, isn't he? Acharya of the International Society, representing Haridas Thakur. He too was capable by his presence to induce others to chant Hare Krishna. How great is our Guru Maharaj in that context? Whereas Haridas Thakur mercifully delivered so many fallen souls within his realm at that time, place, and circumstance, Prabhupada delivered thousands, tens of thousands. If you consider how many people heard the Maha Mantra and the seed was planted, millions of people around the world during his time amongst us. And he continues to do so through the Brihat Mridanga, the book distribution, the internet, Facebook. Make sure it's Krishna conscious. And we are all one of those persons. We're like the prostitute. We can appreciate, and out of appreciation, do like she did. She went the full length. She fully surrendered in gratitude for his association. We've also experienced that mercy. There's a saying that history repeats itself. So we're the repetition of that history 500 years ago. You know, it's an ominous thing when you say history repeats itself in the material world because, you know, war after war after war. But history repeats itself in the Vaishnava community means that if we keep this propagating this chanting of Hare Krishna within our lifetimes, if we can propagate it and keep it going for generations, then generations, millenniums, people can take advantage. We have this burden of love upon us to keep the chanting going. We have to be like Haridas Thakur, as we mentioned last night. That Haridas Thakur would chant 100,000 names of Krishna softly for his own benefit. He would chant 100,000 names for the benefit of the devotees around him. And then there in the middle of the forest, he would chant 100,000 names at the top of his voice for even immovable living entities like plants and trees and so forth and so on. And so did our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. I was introduced to this concept. I was just remembering last night as I was falling asleep. Sometimes, you know, in old age, you kind of forget, and then, wow, now I am. Oh, yeah. Remember the first time I met the devotees, I met Vishnu John Maharaj, Brahmananda Maharaj, Gargamuni Maharaj, and Subal Maharaj. It took four sannyasis to get me into Krishna consciousness. So that's how fallen I was. And within the first 5 minutes, I just remembered this. It just, after all, I never told this pastime before because it's just a story before it. Vishnu John Maharaj, he told me how he was talking about Prabhupada because he saw me and my former wife standing there. All the other students went away. There was 250. And as soon as he started speaking about Krishna, they all went away. I was like, we just come from an exhibit where there was paintings, these pitch white paintings about Krishna. I'd never seen or heard about Krishna before. We walked out of the museum. I said, Jerry, what's that? Well, let's go see. And there were the Maharajas on the university lawn chanting Hare Krishna with these big sticks. I thought they were Japanese at first. So then he stood up and so let me tell you about Krishna. I looked at my wife. I asked you that question. Whose question? Because we saw the exhibit about Krishna. He said, let me tell you about Krishna. I said, what's happening here? So then he spoke about Krishna and the students left. And we were standing there. And he looked and he said, he came over and he said, Hare Krishna. Yeah. He said, sit down. Let me tell you about my spiritual master. Sure. So he started glorifying Prabhupada. And I remember one thing he told us. He said one time, because he was telling about how the teacher sets the example for the student. And you need a spiritual master, he said. I said, okay, I need a spiritual master. I told my wife, I want to be just like him. She said, that's a good idea. So he's talking about the principle of the spiritual master and how he sets a good example by chanting and by distributing the holy name. He said, that's what we're doing out here. I said, oh, that's nice. Then he said that one time in San Francisco, Mara said that they were planning to go out to the mission district to chant. It was like 15 or 20 devotees that day. And before leaving, Prabhupada called Vishnu John Maharaj to his room and said, instead of going to the streets of San Francisco today, you should go to the forest near that mountain on the other side of the bay. It's called Mount Tamalpais. I actually live near there. And you should walk through the forest and chant very loudly this afternoon. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. That's what Prabhupada told Vishnu John Maharaj. So Maharaj said, he told me that he said to Prabhupada, but there's no people in the forest, Prabhupada. There's nobody there, so why should we chant very loudly? So then he said, Prabhupada replied very seriously, you will be chanting to liberate all the birds, squirrels, deers, caterpillars, butterflies, leaves, and creepers. And Maharaj said he just stood there like speechless. What? I said, yes. Squirrels, the birds, the butterflies, the leaves, the creepers. And he told Maharaj, he said, we must do our preaching work everywhere. in the forests and in the cities. Our duty is to deliver all kinds of living entities everywhere. He said, we do not make distinction. So that's what they did. He said they went to Mount Tamalpais. My family lived in that, at the bottom of it was a respectable area. My father, my mother and father had a nice house. We had a nice house there. I used to walk up the mountain. They walked through the forest. There was no people. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada told them to chant loudly. And this is actually, Mahaprabhu inquired from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from Haridas Thakur. He said, I'm worried. How will all these immovable living entities be delivered? Because they're also our brothers and sisters. It's just due to their past activities, they're embodied in that sinful birth. And the power of the mantra is such, it can deliver even them. What to speak of us? That's how powerful. This is the gift we've been given through our parampara, through Guru Krishna, this mantra. How fortunate we are. So here he said they went. They went and they chanted. He said, we chanted very loudly 5 hours. The butterflies. And one time, Jamuna told us, she came to visit us in Poland one time, Jamuna Devi. She came on our Polish tour for a week or something. And she told me that they were staying at some estate in London. It may have been Tittenhurst. It may have been the estate of John Lennon, but I can't say that for sure. But they probably were staying somewhere, and every morning he would take a walk. And they were preparing to leave that place, and Prabhupada said, no, before I go, I have to say goodbye to all my friends. So he went on a walk alone through the park that was connected to the chateau or the palace there. And she said the next day the park burned down. Prabhupada went chanting to the park, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think the next day they were all liberated. Something like, very mystical. But this is what he told Vishnu Jaya Maharaj. You will be chanting to liberate all the birds, the squirrels, the deer, the caterpillars, the butterflies, the leaves. And so our Guru Maharaj was falling very much in the line of Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. They were concerned about all living entities. So let us conclude today. We're getting the notice here on the left-hand side. Let us conclude with the essence of Haridas Thakur's instructions. Because you may not remember all the points in the class, but we should remember the essence of this person's life and teachings, which are capsulized in the eighth chapter of Harinam Chintamani from the lotus mouth of Haridas Thakur. The holy name is the purest form of knowledge. It is the best of all vratas or vows, and it is the highest meditation. It gives the most auspicious fruits. It is the greatest renunciation. It is a matchless spiritual activity. It is the most pious of holy works. It is the supreme path of self-realization. It offers the greatest liberation and goal. It is the topmost destination. It is the best devotional service and the most purifying agent. It gives love of Godhead and is the essence of remembrance of the Lord. It is the cause of all causes. It is the supreme absolute truth. It is the most worshipable object and acts as the supreme guide and spiritual master. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Sri Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gluk Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki, Ghor Bhaktivinda ki, Sacred Sound Festival, New Govardhan, 2017. Ki, Shri Bhagavat Prasadam. Ki, Go Premanande. Hare Krishna.